Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh, episode 14. In this installment, Margot spends a day at school while Yogi goes to Garhmukteshwara. Kuldeep, Gunti Vajau, Gunti Vajau. Madam told again the monitor to bang the shard of resonant brass, the school bell hanging from a tree on its sharp J of wire. Let the bell sound out from the past. This would end the cricket match on the field beyond the hand pump and old brick toilet. Ploughed just yesterday into clumsy clods, it had since been picked clean, thanks to the bugglers, grey water herons with heads like wedges and deft beaks that drill the worm soil. Today, the one-day cricket acolytes who throw the red leather ball rather than bowl it were clomping, laughing, falling over. Madam gave the cricket set from her meagre savings, along with tennis balls, skipping ropes. All were deposited now, back for safekeeping in the tea chest of memory, a magician's trick going back into the hat, along with the cricket bat, wearing fresh scars. Gunti Vajau! Gunti Vajau! As math class chimed its numbers, as wind played snare drum with the people leaves, as he sat across the yard in the papayas, watching her teach other people's children, beyond the circling crows and passing buffaloes, he thought he could hear her Adelaide ding-dong and see his hand, sweaty as it frogs upon the fly-screen mesh, pressing the doorbell to call a lover 7 years his senior. Was it a year or two? Were they already old together? He was somewhere else, she was somewhere also. Now that he had come and she had her job, he was nowhere, nowhere. Meanwhile he sat and read, glad to be here, looking straight up. Wasps hovered where green leaves hid the hive. One by one they pushed past. Fresh ones, jump jets, motored straight into air, hovering. First, like upthrust harrier fighters, then buzzed his head. They too had work to search and destroy intruders at the gate. He got up to go. The wasps chased after. Margot busy, Yogi dined alone in Garhmukteshwara, local market town, at Sunny's roadside dhaba. Yogi ate a thali of jeera rice with rajma beans. Bellyful, he sipped a glass of chai and shuffled now the Bhagavad Gita cards. One flipped out and stood there on its edge before toppling face up on rough wood. Holy role-play rescues, while black acts end in bondage. Don't worry, O Arjuna, the light is written in you. Was this a cue to change his shirt and pants? Reborn us about in time past India, look like a yogi and you'll act like one, he told himself, and went off to the tailor for plain white colour, a universal makeover. That might prove a two-edged, tougher look, hard to live by, not to mention launder. He spent some days coming and going to the local tailor, Ram Prakash, stitching lengths of cotton into pleated shoulders, his snappy yogic garb. Hair and beard were growing long. There were neat beads around his neck, on his soft feet, leather sandals. Villagers upon the roads bowed or stared, astonished at the sadhu, a white walking to the village school. Well, what do you think? he asked upon arriving. The children tittered on their dusty mats as he catwalked up the center to the tree before her, queen-like on a cane-backed throne. She said, "Ah, so it's the Holy Joe." And that was that. Well, she thought, Yogi has gone to the river that once flowed down from heaven as Gangamata channeled by King Bhagiratha in deep and rolling meditation. One white dot against blue sky, he sat on the mud, felt the edge of the wind, a hot knife to his spine, sweat trickling, trying to come to terms with the job of having no job. He tells the beads, plants the seeds, one after another, in the soil of soul. Rudraksha cools red coral for heart. Pearls bring purity, sandalwood focus. Do sapphires, rubies, unsheath the auras? All of this he has read of. He walks and mutters the holy name, round after round, God word, God word. Each bead an eyeball trying to see the unseen, beloved, above, between, below, sky, river, stone. Those first days, Margot knew he'd have trouble, frying in sand beneath a kicker tree's spiky crown of thorns, then trudging back each night, his skin red as chili paste. Here, only cattle came to pull green tips from branches or strip off, piece by piece, the bitter bark. So she spoke her crippled Hindi and mimed hand signs to Kamal at the hand pump, who cajoled her husband. "We should help the modern madam, teaching all our children." He had buffalo grunted, turning on his charpoy. "Tomorrow, if I have time." So it arrived on a buggy, pulled by a black beast, shuddering down a sandbank through a channel of Ganges water. The grass hut was her gift to shield him from hot sun. She had sat there like a rani under bright umbrella in blue Punjabi suit, waiting down the prefab hut on the two-wheel dray, until the driver flicked his stick across the back of the buffalo and the wheels of time hit bottom, splashing it, bounced her, springing as a straw bale into the wet. She bobbed like a cork, regained her seat on the buffalo buggy, a prize fighter knocked to the canvas, who is up in an instant, ready to spar. Thus came his grass jugi, folded out, a pop-up book now assembled by the driver as she stood to the side in her wet shawl, drip-drying like a blue butterfly. That was weeks ago. Day after day of sitting, and still Yogi is blank. Waking from a not-sleep self-cave, he was fresher, yes, but clouds of busy, obscurantism and inside sky, bearing hassle cargo, mentalisms, shopping lists, fleeting, beating, skinned knees of adolescence, and love hard won, then lost again, locked like lips, holding onto its scars. What follows? Cleansing regret, water from two wells. Soap suds stung their eyes in the before-dinner bath. Little body in white foam was no Aphrodite on a shell, buoyant in a salt sea, though she was his first, the girl from across the weatherboard street, for whom he'd cried when family swept her like a talking doll that pees from its plastic bladder. His play swing buddy, she'd say, "Race you up there!" Later, ate popcorn, sitting on living room carpet in front of TV, yelling at the top of its lungs with bagpipe music playing and a beagle named Sally baying with her head turned sideways. He still saw car and trailer slinking off down the road, the trailer bumping, shaking, an unwilling mutt on a leash that doesn't want to go. crying hard for love is a life that first began when he was 6, and is she barely 7? A chicken hawk swoops in, darting from cloud cover, a body snatches focus. Slim, elegant, predatory. Elsa, the bird face alters. He placed human head on feathered form. Did this totemic raptor augur clawed college girlfriends? I am past this, he thinks, yet still sifting the lost love archive. Some things are milestones. Nights of mulled red wine, a big wood bed where she opened her dragon silk dressing gown. Other times brought pain. At 13, German stepdad coming into her bed night after night. She told, he consoled, she healed, he kneeled, she wept with racking sobs. And they picnicked, studied together, ate late, slept in, declared themselves love's fools, started planning for the future, even played meet the parents. Then she dumps him, goes back to old boyfriend, fresh from overseas. She never said why, just left a note on the windscreen wiper. Sorry, Mac is back. She was a shower knob turned off, still dripping, a frayed toothbrush left in the spit cup of memory. Next time he did the leaving, and that has never left him. 25 years ago, pulling away in a car at dusk to cross the red continent. Six years had come to a stale last supper of bread and cheese, wolfed down without eyes looking up, guilty of redness, like the death of sunset in her. It is over when one sneaks out at night looking for red lips. It is over when he has learned cruel moves and calls them honest. It is over when love forgets to say hello in the morning, rushing out the door already, planning departures, bank withdrawal and betrayals, happy last lunch party at work. A fresh new start, excuse of work in the West Coast city, dust, heat, petrol and the accelerator pedal left her like a standing ghost, and still she is there in each car mirror. It was not going well. Eyes closed, he sat inside his hut, smelling straw walls, unable to break through to crack the lock. He thought of the sun shifting above, hour by hour, soon to reach its zenith. He heard the sounds around him, cowbells, bird calls, insects in the wind, the sap cracking in thorn trees, men on boats calling from the river. He was lured to open his eyes and break the inbound flow. He recited the name like churning milk on a cord and stick, hoping to make butter. But the mind's brass pot wasn't empty, not scrubbed clean of thinking, and would curdle the day's batch of buffalo milk. His pot was not ready. He needed to cool off. Gunga was up the track. Cloud grey, so much sediment from sand dredging. He waded in, dove and rose, felt cool, flushed his thoughts, sighed, then saw a river dolphin, a rising form, a friend, an ishk, coming up for air, pink-grey, steep forehead, long rostrum beak, serrations of teeth, a leftover fish thing from prehistoric time. Pin-eye blind, swimming sideways, echo-locating food, it rose again, a dripping arc from cloudy depth, sleek, instinctual, rising, diving. He should follow such spray from that blowhole, a sightless creature, and dive and rise with faith in the river. Wading out, drying off, awakened Yogi saw a sudden flash of blue. Large head, short neck, a palette of colours on the wing, and snap, grasshopper nabbed mid-flight. Echo friend, pest controller, farmers put their palms together, No, their day will be good when they have rare darshan of the blue-throated one, Neelkant, bird of Shiva, namesake of the god who drank the churned ocean's poison at the birth of the world. Those feathers rose Shiva's stained throat, purple streaked with turquoise. Just 13 stocky inches, a grey-bodied roller bird with brilliant flash of wings, that black-eyed blue jay auspiciously appeared to close his yoga day. Evening at their hut, Margot had washed up, plates in a plastic bucket. While squatting at the hand pump, she sat on a cane chair, he on the earth-dung ground. Curious squirrels came to swipe scraps and crumbs. One climbed onto his knee without fear, paws and whiskers twitching. The creature could read him better. This was the real white yogi, the one she loved, thought Margot, a tranquility magnet, a slow poem when he wasn't trying. The sun was down, a kerosene lamp burned. She lit a Nag Champa stick and joined him at ground zero. Cross-legged on a grass mat, he chanted with his drum, like a long boat rowing to God. Oh, the river carried his aim downstream like a thousand ghee lamps. Rishis, munis, orange-clad swamis, loin-clothed sadhus, naked digambars. She saw the place fill up with those holy ghosts, robes, shawls, headdresses, beatific smiles. What are they doing? What are they doing? He asked. She glanced back from a far shore. What could she say to him? They want to hear the name that joins this world to the other. You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel by Chris Mooney Singh. Join me next week for another installment.